Music. Music, music, music.
Yes. Insert fucking Amen break here. Trimming Balls. We talk about new music. We rattle our microphones and we fall over backwards.
I actually realised I don't have an album this week. It's poor planning by me.
I have a suggestion for you, but we can talk about that. Closer to the point, we'll be talking about the albums for next week, but let's talk about the albums for this week. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with Darts.
Let's start with the Darts.
I'm starting to feel like this sort of, is it bratty, snotty, something? Like this is Chats adjacent, yeah?
So these guys got their start because their first ever gig was because Dan's, the lead singer, shit-talked their way onto the undercard of a Chat show. So yeah, they started out being extremely Chats adjacent. I'd argue this is quite a bit less Chats adjacent than their first album.
I just find it hard to access, I guess. Pardon me. I don't know.
But I'm not going to pardon you because that's a shit take. This is a fucking brilliant album. Incredibly well crafted, incredibly well thought through, and such a step up on the album before in terms of the levels of polish, the levels of production, the levels of songwriting, and just the general vibe.
And probably better than the Chats. I completely agree with everything you just said. The production thing is dead on, and I actually think it's better than pretty much all of the Chat stuff that we reviewed.
Oh, God, yes. This is much better. That's what kind of my point is, that they've evolved beyond just doing three chords, snotty, beers, fucking durries, bedding. Now they're kind of subverting that. I mean, learning to drive with Dad, talking about this fucking bogan dad who takes his kid out to learn to drive and then go to the pub and put money on the TAB and whatever else. And then has that thing we haven't seen for a while, which is the completely inappropriate preschool choir on a song that they won't be allowed to listen to for at least 12 years. The last example of this I can think of is the, remember My Aeroplane by the Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, Pleasure Spiked with Pain. That motherfucker's always spiked. Yeah, that's not... The kids aren't going to get to listen to that, Anthony. You didn't need to swear.
I guess I'm struggling. Why don't I like this more? I don't...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. I think you just hate New Zealanders. You just hear that accent and you think Scott Kugelhorn, which is unfair. No, I don't know why you don't like this more. I mean, me and Ace McWicked like it, and you know that's a fucking allegiance. That's an allegiance that should never be found in terms of music. There should not be a Venn diagram that has.
If there were still CDs, you could put that on a CD sticker.
You could. Endorsed by two of the least fucking likely people. Yeah, the songs are cleverer. The songs are better written. They spent a lot more time in production. I mean, the Van Halen guitar solo in Gender Reveal Burnout was just perfect. The whole thing, because Gender Reveal Burnout is like a song about small towns and, you know, you stay there and the line is, I've had two kids with too many vowels in their names. And the fact that it's much more of a cheesy cock rock song than anything else on the album, right to the point where they've absolutely nailed Eruption Van Halen guitar solos. No, it's just, this isn't going to fucking impress any Guardian reviewers. But it is as good a version of this version of punk rock as I've heard. I was really impressed with their evolution. And this is the number one album in New Zealand this week. Not just the previous album was the number one New Zealand album, if that makes sense. The number one album by a New Zealand artist the week it came
which
out.
When we did the 94 episode. And it was like looking at the ARIA chart, and it's like, oh dear. We were like 2 years behind the rest of the world, and we liked things for a long time back then, and, you know.
Yes, stuff hung around.
Stuff hung around, and it was hard to get an Australian album up, despite how proud we were back then of Australian music. So.
Yeah, but it was of John Farnham.
Yeah.
And his many, many returns.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw this on my long list and give it another crack. Because
don't bother. You're not welcome to. Just stick with your fucking your chasing status or whatever the fuck.
So, give me the historical context of Sheer Mag, because this album sounds like it was of a time period, and I could not fucking pick which time period it was.
I mean, to me, it sounded like a whole bunch of kind of trebly, cheesy, kind of 70s AM radio, okay, classic rock. You know, even down to an issue I had with the last time we reviewed one of their albums, was that they kept putting this tinny vocal speaker effect over Old Love's voice, and they're still fucking doing it. And the other problem I had with them was that their songwriting was really inconsistent and lackluster, and they're still doing that too. So,
which is where I sort of landed in that I when I listened to this in a row, I sort of had diminishing returns. I played this in the car. I had this on in the car going to soccer, but I had it down reasonably low because my mum was in the car, and the vocal, that vocal affectation or preset or whatever it was, just sort of, you know, got to be like a mosquito sort of buzzing in the back of your head. It's just like
high pitched whine. Yeah, it's pretty unpleasant.
Did you really need to do that? And like at that lower volume, it does just become that whine.
It's the thing that penetrates through because it's far too trebly. The mix is. I know it's because they're trying to make it sound like it's coming out of a fucking mono speaker on a transistor radio, but why? Why are you doing this?
Yes, I don't want to go back to 4CCC. Thanks, all the same.
No, it's fucking probably before they even had that. It wouldn't even be 4CCC. It'll be fucking, you know, 4CC AM fucking in glorious mono. The only thing remarkable about them is the pretentiousness of their bio. And if you'll indulge me, though, I do have a Doc Reed's bios.
It's been a while, so I think we should.
Sheer Mag have labored to carve out a discernibly singular position within the canon of contemporary rock, toggling with ease between the refined flourishes of a, quote marks, connoisseur's band and the ecstatic colloquialism of popular songwriting. Still the same sentence, yet displaying no strict loyalty to either camp, their sound, while off references, is unmistakably and immediately recognizable as their own. Okay. It's fucking shitty 70s fucking rip-off cheese. It's just cheese.
Yeah.
And the thing is that there are a whole string of like faded rock people who I think it was on Stereo Gum's Insta, who were sort of saying, hey, new Shimami album's tremendous. And one of them was Old Mate from Buck Cherry. And that's probably suitable because Buck Cherry fucking suck. And so does this album. As singer Tina Halliday puts it, nobody seems to write straight up rock bangers anymore. Well, you don't fucking do it either. There was one song on this album that was like that. The rest of it was just fucking easy listening cheese. Get fucked.
And you put her vocal in contrast to the vocal on Mannequin Pussy.
Yeah, she doesn't fuck about. She does not fuck about. And to be fair, Mannequin Pussy are as easy to fucking say, oh, they're just doing X, because Mannequin Pussy sound like, you know, alternating between Smashing Pumpkins and hardcore punk of the mid-90s. But
well, I settled on the Cranberries if the Jesus and Mary Chain wrote all their songs. Like, this might be my favourite album of this year. I really like the weird mix of shit that they were doing. I really dug it. And I, like you said, she does not hold back. There is no... When she wants to go, she goes and she goes hard.
What was the line from the first song? I wish that Jesus would eat my fucking snatch. I guess that's kind of evangelical in a way. I mean, this had a really reassuringly 90s feel. This felt really oddly familiar. The only problem that I had was that none of the songs stuck to me. You know, the noise stuck to me. The feel stuck to me. The vibe.
That's right. But the feel.
I went back and looked at that track listing.
But yeah, you're right. I wasn't humming any of the riffs this week. Sort of. Yes, that's true.
I go back and look at the track listing and I'm like, I think I remember how that one went. You know, I think I remember how okay went, because that was it. That's how it went.
Because literally that's what it said.
Loud Bark. I vaguely remember, of course, the first song, because it's very sexual. But I enjoyed the noises. They made me feel comfortable, and I wonder how much of that is because it reminded me of times past. But I couldn't get it to bond. I couldn't bond with it. And that's not to say it's a bad album. It's probably very good.
It was a lot of fun, and
I felt like the songwriting must have let them down. There must have been a gap there in the hooks. There must have been a gap there in what they constructed.
Yeah, I was going to say, and in songwriting, you mean the musical songwriting, not necessarily the lyrics, because I think the lyrics are just a bit of fun.
Oh, no, I think she's trying to make, you know, serious
points,
anarcho-feminist points, but, you know, I preferred hearing about, you know, how Dan's pushed his landlord down the stairs because he was a cunt, because he didn't fix anything.
But you're absolutely right, like, even to take it back to that, like the crack you made about chasing status, but they're hooks that stay with you, right? You sort of, well, at least I and my kids have been, you know, humming little bits of that here and there.
Listener, I didn't even need to say, are they? Did they?
But yeah, nothing's really stuck from this. I wonder whether it will from repeat listens.
Is it just too, for me, I suppose that the hardcore punk stuff stuck with me more because it was louder and shoutier.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether I liked it more. It sort of sustained its impact longer.
Yeah. All right. What shall we do that is new for...
So you just dropped the name of a band that has a new album out this week, and you're not picking that album?
No. Who's that?
Your friends, the Jesus and the Mary Chain?
I thought that was next week. It's not on my list. I've got it as March 15 on my list.
I'm pretty sure Metacritic said it was out this week. They had reviews for it.
Hmm.
Girl 71, 2024. February 20... No, that's not it. That's a fucking EP. This is... Things have gotten weird, man.
I did know that they had one coming out, but I didn't think it was for a couple of weeks.
I had it down as being...
Yeah, no, I've got it March 22. Glasgow Eyes.
That's what it said on Wikipedia. But then I looked on Metacritic and they said it was released on the 8th.
Huh. What does Spotify say?
Well, Spotify doesn't have it, so it might be a thing where it's present in some markets and it's not present in other markets.
Look, I don't think it's that important that I can't wait till March 22 to make sure it's out.
Well, spoilers, listeners, we won't be here on March the 22nd because none of our hosts can make it.
No.
So we're going to be taking a week off the week before Easter, and we'll see how that goes. I can't help you there.
Well, I'm gonna
actually,
go.
Actually, I did. Anyway, you go.
I'm gonna go with a lovely named band called Meat Bodies.
Oh, we have done. You keep finding bands that you can't remember that we've done before. We've done Meat Bodies before. They're a stoner rock band. We did their album. We did 333, which was 2021.
Okay.
It was a 7-track, half an hour album. So they it was almost EP like, but they've got a new album out. And it is called Flora Ocean Tiger Bloom.
Which sounds like it should have lots of bamboo and wire work in it, but
it sounds more like they've been smoking too much. They've been on that too much of that fucking bushweed that his uncle who works for the Department of Conservation has been sorted out. All right, so Meat Bodies album is one of our albums for the week. The album that I was going to pick this week was going to be another act that we have done in the recent past called Yard Act, who we did an album of, I think it was 22 maybe? Yeah, The Overload. And their new album was called Where's My Utopia? And they are kind of...
We liked that, didn't we?
It was an early year one, so you're never quite sure how much you like an album early in the year. It's kind of like, I'm just glad to have something that starts the conversation for album of the year. But it was, I don't think it was in the conversation for very long.
Okay.
But it's kind of the, you know, sarcastic beat poetry with indie rock behind it kind of feel. And I think that's certainly the tone that this album is going to take as well. But it's been getting a lot of pub. So that's something, I guess. That's nice for them.
Hmm. All right. Oh, yeah. Where's My Utopia? Pop dance rock. What is dance rock?
They you know what dance rock is. It's fucking Blur. Sorry, Pulp. Blur. Bits of Pulp. I'm going to change. I'm going to change my Jesus and the Mary Chain thing to the 22nd because I was sure it was out. I was told it was out, and it was not out. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what they're reviewing. Maybe it was released to reviewers because if you go on Metacritic, it is there, and reviews of it are out. All right, then. What do we want to do for a Yoker?
Did you want to go Judas Priest?
I'm inclined to save that for a week I've got Adam on, just so that, you know, somebody who has heard a metal album before could have an opinion. No, because I was thinking we've been talking about this fucking Gallagher Swire album for so long. We should probably get it off the fucking list. I'm not confident it's not going to be shit.
Yeah.
But, you know. Let's do it just to say that we've done it. It is a Joker. It's exactly what Jokers are built for.
Yeah. And we should probably get Ace to
to
record some thoughts for
us. He's already reviewed it on the last drive through pod. So I think he was a bit disappointed by it.
It might be good then.
Well, it wasn't as good as the Darts album, so that so maybe we need Gallagher Squire and the Darts Boys just to do an album.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've got no other real musical taste.
Cut it! We're going to keep that forever.
Look,
I think you meant to say takes, yes, not taste?
No.
You got no musical taste.
No taste of this week. I am genuinely looking forward to seeing Jungle in May, I have to say. Like, the Chemical Brothers show sort of came and went, and I had no pangs of missing out. You know, all the crew sort of in our live music Brisbane chat sort of going, oh, where are we going for drinks before the Chemical Brothers? I'm like, yep, not that sad. I'm missing that one.
No, I saw them when they were good.
I don't know. They just seem like, and I can understand why, right? Like, you're a product of your environment, and their environment at the moment in the UK is probably not that flash. But I would like something to be a bit more fun.
Yeah, but you can write more interesting versions of that. I mean, Yard Act are going to be exactly that kind of space. Yes, Britain is sinking into its own arsehole kind of shit.
Yeah. My kids are starting to get into, especially Curtis, is starting to bring a bit of pop home from high school influences. And it'll be interesting to see how that sort of washes out, whether he goes, you know, full rebellion into pop, or whether he's going to sort of have a mesh of stuff, or whether he goes, you know, goes through a pop phase and then goes back to whatever else he likes. I'm fascinated to see where his musical tastes sort of end up.
It's interesting because, you know, part of being a teenager is you rebel against whatever your parents say and think and do. But if he ends up becoming like a Swiftie as a result, that would be
interesting.
Amusing? You got to laugh because what else are you going to do? I mean,
yeah,
the sort of shit that my kids listen to, I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, so I had two mates that I hung out with a lot in high school who had parents that were right into 70s rock and roll, like,
yeah,
you know, Black Sabbath and
Zeppelin,
like to the point of having like rare shit on vinyl that they would play all the time. And so when we go round, my mates were like, early on in our sort of high school era, my mates were playing that when we went round. Like, that was the stuff that they were putting on. So they were not rebelling. They were sort of rebelling against whatever the, because we hadn't quite, at that stage, we hadn't quite hit that grunge era, right?
Yeah.
So
that was sort of like the ass end of cheese of fucking hair metal.
They were rebelling against the cheesy 80s, early 90s stuff with older stuff, because grunge hadn't sort of been invented yet. And then, of course, as soon as grunge came along, they sort of that naturally glommed onto that because, you know, riffs lead into riffs, I guess.
Riffs beget riffs. That's the story of this episode of the podcast.
You know, I just, what's the modern fucking Next Men / Gentleman's Dub Club / Fat Freddy's Drop for my kids to get onto? I don't know what it is.
It's Taylor Swift. It's always Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. It's always Taylor Swift.
Or if you're a 45-year-old woman, it's Pink.
Yes. I did have someone who was in the car with me the other day, and Vanessa started saying something about Taylor Swift, and this person was really, like, expounding the genius of Taylor Swift's songwriting, and I just really had to hold myself back from like sort of cocking my head to the side and looking at them down my nose going, huh?
She's very good at writing songs that speak to a certain kind of people.
Sure. Yeah. That's true. That's
I mean, that's true. I don't think we can contest that as an issue.
You absolutely look like the literal record sales prove everything that we could possibly say about that to be 100% wrong.
The old fucking Roy Nacher line. She talks to kids. You know, it really talks to kids.
Yes, and actually, that's where we were. We were at someone's place, and the dad was talking because the 10-year-old girl was like listening to Taylor Swift back to back. And the funny thing was that the mum had tried to like go, oh, but there's other really great, strong female artists out there, and tried to play like Tracy Chapman and...
No. Tracy Chapman's not winning anybody over unless people want to kill themselves.
Yeah, so it was all like, you know, singer-songwriters of her youth and they're all depressing as fuck compared to the upbeat pop of Taylor Swift.
But there's also the thing that it's not really about the music. It's not just it's not just about the, it's about the sense of belonging to a tribe.
Yes.
There's a reason that they identify as Swifties and they move as a group and
They have the identifying marks. It's no different to being a football fan, right?
And the Pink fans have the same kind of thing. Having seen that Pink played here last week and they fit 40,000 people into a stadium that, you know, when it's set up for football games, at the best could do 25,000. And the place was overrun with middle-aged women with dyed hair and their kids. And it's a beautiful, they're a beautiful crowd. My wife went to them last time came here. The beautiful crowd, they're well-meaning and all that sort of stuff, but it's the same kind of thing. There's clearly they're not just going because they like the music. There's a sense of belonging and a sense of tribalism that's important to them. Yeah. And they have to go there and fucking do their pilgrimage and fucking commune together was the phrase I was looking for.
Yeah, and like, I don't know whether I have that in a musical anymore. Like,
I don't think I ever did, but you know, look back at like the Kiss Army in the 70s you know, dressing up and it tended to be in a genre, like you'd be a punk or a goth or a metalhead or something, and there'd be a uniform and there'd be, you know, clubs you would go to and stuff like that. You know, I think genre has been so shattered that now it's just individual artists that people tend to follow that with.
I guess the closest I've ever come to it was Australian hip hop. And that was more...
But you were building it then, because you were helping to hold the roof up of that particular tent.
I was never a true insider. I was only ever an enhancer, right? I was the person that was willing to...
Facilitator.
Willing to put my hard-earned cash on the line because I believed in the genre, and the genre has repaid itself by being fairly generic as it's gone forward.
That was a fucking mistake.
But...
Yeah, but like you could say the same about, you know, Australian rock. You say, well, we ended up with Gang of Youths and fucking Ocean Alley. But
well, you could say the same about American fucking hip hop, right? You ended up with Jay-Z and whatever Kanye West is now.
Speaking of how you rebel against your parents, that's what I saw the young bloke listening to on Spotify the other day. I'm like, Kanye West. I'm like, you know, he's a problem. But he, it's almost like he knows it's a problem, but the fact that he's a problem is actually the reason why you listen to it. Because it's almost like you do stuff for the gram or you do stuff for socials. So, I don't know, maybe he really got into 808s and heartbreaks or something.
It could be worse, mate. It could be Chris Brown, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, none of these people are great human beings, are they? But I suppose, in Kanye's defense, and I will never use that line again on this podcast, mentally ill person off his meds. So, you know. Maybe he shouldn't have the access to a megaphone. But,
that's a lot easier to be understanding of than the Chris Brown thing.
Chris Brown was just a piece of shit. You know, some people are just pieces of shit, and old mate Brown was, you know, one of them.
And on that note, shall we wind it up for another week?
Yeah, how do we always end up talking about wife beaters and sex predators?
Oh well, because there's fucking a lot of them around. That's it.
There's so many Scott Kuglines in the world, aren't there?
Yeah. Yep, and unfortunately, we don't just trash them immediately.
No, some of them get selected.
Yep, keep on keeping on. All right, cool. Thanks, Doc. I'll see you next week for Balls 400.
For Balls 400 and Tripping Balls, a slightly less impressive 378.
All right, gotcha.
Cheers, man. But, you know, I'm not going to accept that at all.
Like,
and since my headphones have stopped working and I can't hear you, I'm just going to keep talking until I remember where the plug is. Right, now. These headphones have one of those ones with a cord that goes in both ends. At some stage, I bumped it and the thing came out and I thought, oh, he stopped talking. I'm just going to fucking go. This sounds great. So someone has going to have a really good time editing that together.